comes with both tops, chrome wheels, and CD changer. Specially priced this week, only $18,988.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The White House, GOP leadership, and the Mavericks, led by Senator John McCain, have worked out their differences on the bill to lay out the rules for handling terrorist detainees from now on. Live from Orlando now, traveling with the president, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Clearly pleased by the agreement, President Bush is hailing it as part of his top legislative priority, a law to help crack the terror networks and save American lives.
The agreement clears the way to do what the American people expect us to do, to capture terrorists, to detain terrorists, to question terrorists, and then to try them.
During a day of Republican fundraising in Florida, Mr. Bush said the bill would enable the CIA to question the world's most dangerous terrorists and get their secrets. He urged Congress to get the bill to his desk by the end of next week. Harley?
The real litmus test, of course, is not political. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The devil is in the details here, and so far we really don't have any. And even if there is a deal, it still ultimately will face some sort of a review by the federal courts, which have in the past struck down similar efforts to jumpstart these military tribunals for detainees and also to clarify new laws of war. So this may be some sort of a political breakthrough, but it certainly doesn't guarantee legal success.
Arraignment today for Shannon Torres in Union, Missouri, who pleaded innocent.
Ms. Torres, you are charged in four counts.
The prosecutor laying out the charges against her, accused of slashing a young mother's throat to steal her newborn baby. Mother and baby were reunited after several days. Torres was turned in by her own family. Right after September 11th, the Bush administration spoke clearly to the government of Pakistan.
What did Armitage say to your director of intelligence right after September 11th?
The director of intelligence told me that he said, be prepared to be bombed, to be prepared to go back to the Stone Age.
Pakistan's President Musharraf speaks to correspondent Steve Croft on 60 Minutes Sunday night. Iraq's sectarian troubles seem to pay less and less attention to the armed might arrayed there to try to stop it in Iraq. CBS's Pete Gow.
Baghdad's defense ministry today warned that the insurgents had now found a new tactic. They would kidnap somebody from the street who was driving a vehicle. They would detain them for a period of time. All the while, they're filling their car with explosives. And then after a given period, they would say to them that they had decided to release them. And then when the kidnapped victim drives away, they're followed by the insurgents until such time as they reach a checkpoint or somewhere similar. And then the explosives in the vehicle are remotely detonated.
With enough time, a fossil can become like concrete as calcium and other elements seep into the voids in ancient bones. Paleontologists in Utah say a 70-million-year-old dinosaur skull has been found so heavy a helicopter couldn't lift it out. On Wall Street, the Dow down 79 points, NASDAQ lost 15 on the day. This is CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Driving an ATV on three or four wheels is risky. That's just the way it is. And one of the best racing drivers ever has joined the push for safety.
Naturally, as older people, we would decide to get ATV. We don't need no training. Man, we've been doing all this stuff. But the big people get hurt just like the little people.
King Richard Petty says everyone needs training to get the most out of an all-terrain vehicle safely.
The training is all important. Okay, it's like me driving a race car. Had to have a little training before I just jump in a car and go to Daytona and start racing. You don't do things like that.
470 people died in 04 on ATVs. 136,000 were injured. Sometime back, the medical examiner's office in New York City stopped trying to match names to bone fragments and other little bits left by the September 11th terror. Medical examiner Dr. Charles Hirsch says thanks to recent advances in DNA techniques now, the efforts will resume to help families reach that final measure of closure. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi. I'm David Orrick. I make the 8-pound Orrick XL Hotel Vacuum. It's so powerful, it vacuums hotels around the globe, from Texas to Tokyo, from Montreal to Munich. And now you can take the Orrick Challenge and try my 8-pound Orrick Hotel Vacuum risk-free for 15 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Why anybody would want to use any other vacuum is Greek to me.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
What's that guy's name?
Peter B. Collins.
Oh, him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and the rest of you, too, to the Peter B. Collins Show today. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, progressive talk radio originating from the left coast. Wherever you are, however you listen to this program, I'm delighted you're with us. You can send me confirmation or complaints by email. My email address is peter@peterbcollins.com. You're also invited to participate. This is a two-way talk show, and you can call any time when the urge strikes you. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And I've had some complaints that I reel that number off too quickly. So here's the slow version. 888-573-8372. On the program today, Jeffrey Feldman, who talks about rhetoric and framing, runs the website frameshopisopen.com. We're going to get his analysis of the speeches this week at the United Nations by George W. Bush and yesterday by Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. Is Bush the devil? I thought it was kind of funny, really. Also on today's program, Dr. Stephen Miles, a medical doctor who's written a powerful book about our torture policies. It's called Oath Betrayed. And his book looks at America's torture policy, how it was used at Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, and elsewhere. And this man talks about the complicity of medical professionals in the torture process. And he's not pleased about it, I'll just tell you that. Our free speech zone in the third and final hour will be kicked off today by Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller. She is one of 300 American rabbis who have signed a letter calling on the Bush administration to sit down and talk with Iran and Syria. They're called Rabbis for Peace. And as Jews around the world get ready to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, we will talk with the rabbi later today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But first up, every Thursday, we check in with Faz Shakir. He's the keeper of the factoids, not just Altoids, but he's got factoids. And he's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, published by the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Hello, Faz.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well today, and I want people to log on to progressreport.org. You can fill out the little email form there, and they will send you the Progress Report on a daily basis, a lot of powerful information with links to the sources of the truth. And, Faz, gosh, there's so much going on. I just got an alert here from one of my news sources. At the White House and the Senate Republicans, led by John McCain, have reached a deal on the rules for interrogation and trial of suspects. And I don't know the outlines of it so far, but the one thing that I'm pretty clear on is that it does not include the right of habeas corpus for these detainees. Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding as well. And you'll recall that Senator Spector a few days ago indicated that he wasn't happy with the Warner-Graham McCain bill because it didn't have that provision. So it'll be interesting to watch him and see whether he buys into this compromise or not. And if he doesn't, I think that, you know, the White House isn't out of the woods yet. I'd say that the McCain compromise, you know, isn't terribly surprising. You know, there's so much on the line for both sides here. With McCain, it was his 08 candidacy. And so, you know, of course, they had to come to some sort of compromise. And I think they both gave a little.
Well, and to its credit, the New York Times, both in the news columns and on the editorial page today, addressed this glaring deficiency or defect, I would say, in either one of the pieces of legislation. And we heard the very powerful testimony that was in Sunday's New York Times from Abu Bakr Qasim, who is a gentleman who was completely innocent, caught up in the war on terror, delivered for a $5,000 bounty. And if it were not for our habeas corpus rules and procedures, he says that he would still be locked up at Gitmo and his family would not even know where he is. And I just think that this is undemocratic and immoral. And it shocks me that there's been so little discussion. And I'm pleased that finally the Times quoted a number of Democrats, including Congressman Meehan of Massachusetts, who raised very serious concerns about this.
Well, and it's illegal and immoral, but also contrary to the Geneva Convention. So if the president now believes that his compromise is in accord with the Geneva Conventions, he's wrong. I mean, there's still one major oversight here, and that's what Senator Spector is pushing for, and Democrats as well, and that's habeas corpus, that everybody be given an opportunity to challenge their convictions. And also, I'd add, in addition to that, one of the other issues is secret evidence, that their defense counsel or that there be some way for them to be able to challenge the evidence that's being presented against them, another important issue.
Yeah. I wish a prominent Democrat would just stand up and call for a timeout, because on so many of these issues, this policy, the issues related to giving the president not only a blank check for future eavesdropping through the NSA, but also going back with a retroactive amnesty, and I thought Republicans were against amnesty, for acts committed all the way back to September 11th of 01. All of these, the immigration package that we're going to talk about in a minute or two, there is no rush on these. Yet they act as if the Democrats go into recess without acting on these matters, that somehow, you know, they're leaving America vulnerable or unsafe. And the Bush administration has had 4 years to get the detainee policy right. And it wasn't until the Supreme Court spanked them and they decided to use this as a political issue for the fall campaign that the urgency surfaced.
That's right. Yeah. And if they didn't pass a bill, then presumably the Geneva Conventions would be the rule of the rule of the land, so the law of the land. So I mean, I don't see the urgency like you of why they need to act right now, especially if they're going to tear the Geneva Conventions apart. And again, I don't know the details of this. And I think you're right in saying that Democrats could call time out. And I mean, there's no better time to do it when you have Colin Powell and all these former Joint Chiefs, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, standing behind you, in essence, arguing your position for you. And so if you can't even use that to your advantage, I'm not sure, you know, if they have the temerity to stand before the Republicans and argue any other issue.
And later this hour, we'll discuss this with Jeffrey Feldman, too, because I think a lot of this has to do with the Lakoff analysis, Faz,
right,
that the Republicans are simply posing as the strict father who's there to protect us against all evils, you know, from raccoons in the garbage can to terrorists in the middle of the night. And I just, again, say, you know, these are important issues. They need to be handled properly. We have to look at the long-term implications, particularly of the terror, the torture and trial process for detainees. And there is no urgency that requires that Congress complete this work by the end of next week.
Right. And with regards to your Lakoff point, I think that you're right in how they frame, how the Republicans frame their language on this. But also, I'd say they've changed the culture of America in some respect, that Americans are willing to, the American public is willing to buy into that and to accept some of that. And I feel like that's because the Democrats haven't done a good enough job of laying out an alternative vision, alternative viewpoint, and establishing a culture in which our ideology would succeed.
Agreed. Now, on the House side, yesterday, at one point, the bill failed, I think, in the Judiciary Committee, and then Sensenbrenner revived it. A couple of Democrats left the room to go to a news conference, and voila, they were able to pass the White House version of the detention and interrogation legislation.
Yeah, and then, of course, today we find out that there's this major compromise. So I guess the White House can claim some victories. I don't think it's out of the woods yet. But there are some great hesitations here, and it's unfortunate that the Democrats couldn't capitalize on what clearly was a Republican vulnerability. And, you know, I think that President Bush and Karl Rove had attempted to use this issue and the NSA wiretapping as momentum builders into 06, and for a while they were really stumbling. So I think the dynamic is kind of changing a little bit right now, and they'll obviously still use it against Democrats, decrying them as the weak war on terror party. But I don't know if they can legitimately argue that as long as there are a lot of Republicans who are on the fence.
Faz, we're going to take a break, and I want to come back and talk about the House action yesterday on Henry Hyde's voter photo ID bill and how they have managed to link that to immigration issues. And then we'll talk about the fence and a few other things that are percolating on Capitol Hill right now. Faz Shakir is with us, co-editor of the Progress Report from the Center for American Progress. You can join us with a question or comment toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Puts you through right here to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K-Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 91 Mercedes 500 SL, pearl black with light gray leather, 73,000 original miles. This two-owner car comes with both tops, chrome wheels, and CD changer. Specially priced this week, only $18,988.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We continue our weekly debriefing with Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress, where they publish the Progress Report. Now, Faz, I was surprised by the speed with which the Hyde bill, it's H.R. 4844, if I remember correctly, reappeared. I guess it was introduced in March, but languished in the somewhere in a committee, and it was pulled up and jammed out of the House yesterday on a strict party line vote. And this is a piece of legislation that's dubious on a number of levels. First of all, we have two state courts in the past 10 days, Missouri and Georgia, that have flatly rejected the photo ID requirement for voters as unconstitutional and a burden for many individuals. And yet the Republicans tried to describe this as part of their immigration reform package. Have there been incidents of illegals showing up at polling places to cast a vote on Election Day? I have never heard of even one case.
No, I haven't either. But apparently the GOP thinks it's a big problem, probably because they see how the poll numbers are looking. You know, going back to your point, I think that your earlier point about how this snuck up on us, I think, you know, a few weeks ago we were talking about how immigration reform was dead. And,
yeah.
And we had statements from the congressional leadership to saying things to that effect, that they were going to work on it next session. And then they quickly snuck this one by us, you're right, about this voter ID bill. And clearly it's a political attempt to appeal to their base. And I thought that, you know, Representative John Lewis, this an icon of the civil rights movement, a
sure.
Georgia Democrat,
mm-hmm.
standing on the House floor and really decrying the bill, saying that they've fought too long and fought too hard for the right to vote and that they can't turn back the clock now. I thought, you know, those are really moving words coming from somebody who's been there, explaining how this bill would disenfranchise the poor, the elderly, the disabled, racial minorities, people who would be the most likely to be affected by a bill requiring a voter ID to vote.
Well, and here's the New York Times editorial. Non-citizens, particularly undocumented ones, are so wary of getting into trouble with the law that it is hard to imagine them showing up in any numbers and trying to vote. The real threat of voter fraud on a large scale lies with electronic voting, a threat Congress has refused to do anything about. Amen, New York Times. Amen.
Right, and the courts also agree with that view, at least the state courts do. In Missouri and Georgia, they've struck it down for that reason. They don't see they see this as having a more disproportionate impact on populations that have the right to vote who won't be afforded that right to vote, not in actually helping us to deter illegals from voting. So I think, yeah, they have their priorities wrong, and let's look at it for what it is. It's a political attempt here with less than 6 or 7 weeks to go till the November elections, and they are trying to appeal to their base, who clearly has some amount of xenophobia within it.
Well, and, you know, they tried to drive a wedge issue, the immigration reform, through this year, and they just ended up with some very painful splinters. And they're trying to salvage that by claiming that there will be some action on immigration issues this year. So now they're trying to revive this idea of a fence. And, you know, I'm not deeply opposed to trying to tighten up the actual physical border of the United States. But it really is an empty gesture, just like deploying the National Guard along the border has been.
Yeah, and they're requiring, this bill would require building 700 miles of fence, you know, so it's not like it's going to cover the entire border. I think that building a fence, you know, it leads us down a path that in the end is not going to be good for the United States and our relations with our neighbors.
Now, Faz, why don't we just take a playbook, a page from the Bush playbook, and let's sub this out. Why don't we have Walmart build a fence, and we'll give them the naming rights. They can put billboards up on the 700-mile stretch about how much money you can save at Walmart and how, you know, globalization has been so beneficial to the world's largest retailer.
The irony that the press has been reporting is that the people who are being hired to build these fences are indeed, you know, illegal citizens or illegal immigrants. And so, there's a lot of irony here. And, you know, unfortunately, the Republicans don't want to acknowledge the impact that the illegal immigrant population has on us and how difficult this problem will be to solve. And it's not going to take, just a fence to cure this problem.
Now, Faz, you in the Progress Report today reported on something that was news to me yesterday when it was first reported, and that is that there was a commission with former Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham. He's also a former senator from Michigan. And Lee Hamilton, who is over-commissioned, in my opinion. I mean, there really ought to be a lifetime ban for Lee Hamilton on any more commissions. I think he's done his duty, and thank you very much. Go back to Indiana, will you? At any rate, they published a report, and what did it tell us?
Which report is this? I know more of the
okay, it's a bipartisan task force
report.
Released an extensive report stressing the need for comprehensive reform.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so Lee Hamilton, like you said, I was kind of lost myself because he's on an Iraq commission as well.
Yeah.
But the
and the 9/11 commission.
And the 9/11 commission. Right.
I think he was on the Iran-Contra commission. I mean, this guy.
Right. So the report that came out was talking about the need for comprehensive immigration reform. Obviously, the strategy that's been advocated by the president at one point in time, and the strategy advocated by Senator Kennedy and McCain and others. And you know, for a while, I only mentioned that because President Bush now seems to be backing off of it. And for a while, it was the center point of his immigration policy. He said he wouldn't sign anything that wasn't comprehensive in nature. And now, yesterday, he was asked whether he would sign the fence bill and the and this voter ID provisions. Even though they weren't comprehensive, they weren't his comprehensive approach, and he said, "Yeah, I'll sign it." So he's clearly backing down again, looking at the political interests.
Mm-hmm. One other item that's in the Progress Report today, Faz, is about a shield law for journalists. There's a big glaring hole, and we're seeing it evidenced here in San Francisco in two cases. The Chronicle reporters who published information from the grand jury that Barry Bonds testified before, saying, well, if I use steroids, I just didn't know it was in that flaxseed oil. And also Josh Wolf, who is an independent freelance radical lefty journalist in San Francisco, who happened to capture some video footage of a police car being assaulted by some demonstrators. And he's due to go back into the federal pen tomorrow. And there's a hearing today, it may be occurring right now, to decide the fate of the San Francisco Chronicle reporters. And the problem is that there are state shield laws that defend reporters' rights to keep their sources private. But there is not such a federal shield law.
Yeah, and the administration has been opposed to a federal shield law. Obviously, they view the media as their enemy, primarily because of the outings of the NSA program and the CIA detention black sites. And I think they would, you know, when asked prior, or I guess a few months ago, Alberto Gonzalez left open the possibility that they would prosecute journalists. So I think that the need is clear for a media shield law, federal media shield law, because the characters we have in the White House, we can't trust them enough to report accurately what's going on.
And I don't usually have good things to say about Arlen Specter. He has the wrong position for me most of the time. But he's right on this, and he is supporting the idea of a federal shield law. I hope he prevails.
Yeah. No, and there was another news story, I don't know if you saw today, about the Alphonso Jackson case. The HUD Inspector General came out and said that Alphonso Jackson had told people within the Housing and Urban Development to distribute contracts based on partisan political affiliation.
Yes, thanks a lot. Gotta go.
Sorry.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
How children acquire speech and language is a complex process. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and two outstanding experts to understand normal speech and language development, when to seek help if there are delays, and some of the advantages of speaking more than one language at home.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Tom Hartman.
So today, ABC News reporter Martha Raddatz says to Bush, why do you keep saying that Saddam had relations with Zarqawi when the Center Intelligence Report says there was no relation? And Bush replies, and I quote,
I never said there was an operational relationship.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Yet you have three quotes here from Bush saying Hussein should be held responsible because Zarqawi was in his country. He just comes right out and lies.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. This half hour, we check in with Jeffrey Feldman, one of our contributors on rhetoric, framing, and language. And we're going to talk about Hugo Chavez, who described George W. Bush as El Diablo.
Never went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what.
And I can smell the sulfur.
You know it, but I'm a fiddle player, too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's John.
All right, that's enough. Charlie Daniels is a right-wing redneck, a hell of a guy. I just don't agree with his politics. And that's the devil went down to Georgia. The devil was apparently at the United Nations the other day, and it took Hugo Chavez to bring that fact out. Jeffrey Feldman joins us. His website is frameshopisopen.com. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What did you think of President Chavez's remarks?
Well, it was interesting. Chavez actually came into my district here in New York. I mean, he made an appearance at 125th Street.
Was he passing out any free coupons for discount gasoline?
I didn't get any coupons. What Chavez is doing is he's playing, he's really trying to invert the words that Bush was using. You know, when he calls Bush the devil, he is attempting to use a play on words where he's going after Bush's phrase, the axis of evil, attempting to turn it on its head in this game, almost a rhetorical chicken, I think, that where he's trying to prove how close he can come to the actual people who Bush is alienating the most. Use that language right out of Bush's playbook.
Yeah. Now, what do you make? I heard the Democratic leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, in a soundbite today saying that this was, poor judgment on Chavez's part and that he, has brought shame to himself and his country. And I'm not really sure the Democrats should be out there trying to peel off a critic of the Bush administration. I mean, I don't think that this was necessarily tasteful or diplomatic. But hey, he said it. I thought he delivered it in a very clever way. And rather than turn this into a sister soldier moment where Democrats are saying, oh, he's much further left of me, I just say, hey, it was inappropriate. It was an attempt at humor. But to give it the status, of an official statement and something that deserves a response, I just think that's a mistake.
It wasn't necessarily a good strategy on the part of Pelosi. Another thing that people need to see, I think, is that what Chavez is doing is he's trying to walk in the footsteps of Castro in many ways. These historic visits to the United States with these dramatically staged statements. Just recently, Chavez made a big deal about going to visit Castro when he was in the hospital, gifting him one of his iconic red shirts that he wears.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to see that one of the things that Chavez is doing is attempting to step up onto the world stage in these moments where there's already a drama going on in the United States with President Ahmadinejad visiting and giving a speech where the big story was the face-off between Bush and the President of Iran and the United Nations, and here comes Chavez onto that stage and drawing some spotlight for himself. So the Democrats say help him out on that wasn't necessarily a very good strategy. Whether or not it showed weakness for the party, we'll see that over the course of the week in terms of how the media picks that up.
Jeffrey, you got a real flash from the past here, a great photograph of John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev at the United Nations, and it's on your homepage at frameshopisopen.com. And this is exactly the opportunity that Bush passed up. And once again, his failure to meet with Cindy Sheehan and just put that behind him is just a signal of, his sense of arrogance and his sense of self-righteousness. Because if he feels so strongly about his position, why does he have to use a speech to talk over the Iranian leadership and in a patronizing way talk to the people of Iran when he could have sat down with Ahmadinejad himself and said, look, I got three things to tell you, buddy.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't think he would have gotten much in that conversation. The president of Iran is incredibly talkative.
Yes, he is.
But, yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point. We've got a president here who, given the opportunity to sit down and show the strength of American diplomacy, strength in this case being the image of our leader sitting down with any other world leader with confidence, sitting in the same room, shaking hands, and controlling the discussion, both listening and speaking. Instead, we've got a president who repeatedly shows that he's weak in these moments. He runs away from these types of discussions. And what he's running away for is he's waiting for the people who are working for him behind the scenes to doctor the situation so that when they send Bush in finally, they've established absolute total dominance of the American position over whatever opposing world leader wants to talk with Bush. It really is an amazing, amazing thing that Bush keeps on repeating these gestures of weakness. And at the UN yesterday, the other day, his speech used this very peculiar rhetorical flair where he repeatedly said, look, I'm not speaking to the leaders of these nations. I'm not going to speak to the people in my position. I'm going to speak directly to the people of Afghanistan, of Iran, Iraq, Syria. He went through this entire list as if to say, don't have the confidence to sit down with the people who are in my position. I need to wait until they've been chopped down to size. It was really, really remarkable, I think, how weak he looked in that speech.
Well, and his remarks to those various nations were often filled with the same kind of direct rhetoric that he uses here in the United States. And I'm not sure that he recognizes how it is perceived in the parts of the world he was talking down to.
Yeah, it's the same stuff. I mean, it's literally, I mean, the image in my mind that I have is they've got, you know, it's like Tupperware full of leftover food, the rhetoric that they use in these Bush speeches, and they just pull it out and throw it at, you know, the people of around the world as if they're going to respond with cheers and throwing garlands of flowers when the rest of the voters in the United States just roll their eyes and say enough already.
Yeah.
It is remarkable that, you know, if you just go back quickly, you know, Google is your best friend in this. You can find pictures and moments, great moments in American history where we have Republican presidents who understood, and not very long ago, that sitting down with world leaders that opposed us was really a show of American diplomatic strength. President Reagan sitting with Gorbachev, Nixon even shaking the hand of Mao, and then, of course, that famous picture of Democrat Kennedy sitting with Khrushchev. But in those moments, we really have images of American presidents as senior statesmen. And that's really what we lack in President Bush. President Bush is not a statesman. He's a pitch man. He's being sent up on that podium to give the same sales pitch over and over again in order to creep the numbers up by 0.5%, by 1%, in order to increase their chances farther down the road. But he is not someone who can control the diplomatic stage as a senior statesman.
Well, and, you know, I'm struggling here because I started to say that he should know, and then I realized that I'm being rational again, and I've got to stop. But Jeffrey, for example, here he is lecturing the people of Syria about the leadership of their country and criticizing them for being too cozy with Iran and Hezbollah and, you know, using the terrorist labeling. And that flies in the face of the news that was published just the day before, a lengthy and exhaustive investigation by a commission in Canada into the mistreatment, the abuse, the rendition, and ultimate torture in Syria of a Canadian national who was intercepted at JFK Airport in New York and sent by the Americans first to Jordan and then to Syria, where he was caged and tortured with a metal cable. And we have the Attorney General trying to marginalize the story, saying, I don't know about any torture. And here's a commission reporting it. And then the president just stands up there and lectures Syria and forgot to thank them for allowing us to outsource that torture project.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's insulting to all of us when we hear these things. But here, you know, people have to keep in mind, of course, that when the president speaks, he sees himself not just as reflecting on the reality out there, but as establishing what will stand for reality. And so in the face of these revelations, the instinct in the Bush administration is not to address those facts or address, you know, those accusations, but to state the fantasy of what they want to be in place even louder. And so we have here Bush using this huge stage of the United Nations in order to assert what what they want to be the reality, which is the United States having, his administration having moral authority on these issues. But of course, asserting that in the face of these reports coming out which show him abdicating that moral authority by these breaches of the Geneva Convention, it's this crass abuse of human rights. But that's Bush's habit. It's his habit of going up and saying, my words are reality. This isn't just a response to what's going on. When we say it, it is true, and just keep on repeating it.
We're talking with Jeffrey Feldman, who analyzes language, rhetoric, framing. His website is frameshopisopen.com, and we're here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Jeffrey, I want to turn next to the president's charm offensive. Since about Labor Day, he's delivered almost a speech every day, and he really has ratcheted up his language with what the military calls fear up. Next hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Stephen Miles, whose book is about America's torture policy. It's called Oath Betrayed. And fear up is an actual military term for an interrogation method where you kind of drive fear into the subject. And Bush has been applying that to the American people, trying to fear us up in order to continue Republican one-party rule in Washington via the midterm elections. And I'd like your sense of how you think he thinks this is going to work, and then if you think it is ultimately effective so far.
Well, let me start with the second part. I do think that the Bush administration believes it's effective. And the reason that I see them doing it is to craft, and what I mean doing it, I mean having sending the president out and having him talk about the inevitability of violent attacks in the United States if we change the policy in Iraq or any other policy in any way. Everything seems to revert to what I call this physics of safety, this idea that any policy that the president has, whether it's the wiretapping policy or it's the troops on the ground in Iraq, if we change that policy, the president is saying that this danger is going to come pouring in upon us inevitably, and so we can't let up on that oppositional pressure. That's the rhetorical strategy that he's using. And I think one of the things that we saw over the past week, in particular with the president's press conference in which he got very irate in response to Colin Powell's letter questioning his authority on to change statutes which would have defined the Geneva Convention, we see that the White House wants to send Bush out in the public getting angry. They want him to be getting very, very angry in defense of his right to have unlimited power on these issues. So fear is being used in this sense in order to show, once again, the war president speaking passionately, which seems to be a tactic that has succeeded for them in the past. Now, since Bush started this, this real kind of public anger in the past week, strangely his poll numbers have clicked up a few notches.
Yes, they have.
Put an incredible amount of stock in those numbers, but
no. But to get back up to 44 is significant. We can't dismiss that.
It is significant, and I think that one of the things that happens, as you mentioned, with these speeches that are happening every single day, is that the White House succeeds in trapping Americans inside their logic, in particular inside the logic about what it is that makes us safe or doesn't make us safe. And right now, what we're looking at in the United States is people seeing that in order to be safe, we need to keep up this brute pressure in these key areas, which is the way that the Bush administration talks about it. I think that in order to get around that particular framing, that Democrats could really serve the public well by talking about systems instead of talking about this brute force.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break, and then I'll let you elucidate and expand on that in just a moment. Jeffrey Feldman is with us. Again, his website, frameshopisopen.com. If you have a question or a comment, bring it forward now. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Raise a little hell, raise a little hell. I mean, it's, tell people why I say this. I mean, is it...
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're talking with Jeffrey Feldman, an expert on framing, rhetoric, and language, particularly as it's used in political and public discourse. His website is frameshopisopen.com, and Jeffrey does offer his services as a consultant, so if you think you could benefit from learning more about the use of language, particularly in politics, you can go to the website frameshopisopen.com. Now, Jeffrey, we had to stop before the break there, and you were about to describe your ideas for how Democrats should counter Bush's fear-up approach to the politically charged rhetoric of this fall's political season. And what's your strategy there?
Well, my strategy is for Democrats to talk about systems for security. In other words, to pick up the logic of talking about security all over the board rather than just this persistent way that that Republicans are talking about national security in terms of applying brute force just in one place. I'm thinking in particular, I heard a talk that, a clip of a talk that Mark Warner gave the other day, and or last week it was, in which he talked about installing systems for scanning the contents of containers coming into our ports. And it was a really great example of how good democratic framing on national security could happen, because there was Mark Warner standing up there. He talked about the Japanese and other nations around the world installing these systems that could be used to quickly scan the contents of all containers. And it was able to talk about this really crucial part of our national security in a way that didn't involve using inflammatory language or resorting to fear, but talked about being efficient, about being smart, about looking at every single angle. And I think that that's a very good approach for people to use.
But let me challenge you a little bit with a Clinton aphorism. He said pretty famously in the 90s that the public prefers Republicans who are wrong and strong to Democrats, and I don't remember what he rhymed for Democrats, but, you know, who approach this as kind of a wonky policy issue.
Well, Well, I think that that the Republicans have proven themselves to be not just wrong and strong, but really inept in terms of leading to any type of scenario where we feel secure. I think that Americans, 2 years ago, when they heard Republicans go out and talk about fear, try to raise fear, they would roll their eyes, but they would say, yeah, they're right, even if we don't entirely trust them. But now people just say, oh, it's more of the same. They're getting tired of it. So I don't think that people are listening anymore to what the Republicans are saying vis-a-vis their proposals and staying the course.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I hope for the Democrats.
I hope you're right. And one of the polls does show that Americans do now separate the so-called war on terror from the misguided and mismanaged war in Iraq. And that gives me some hope that voters will be rational in an irrational environment on November 7th. Let's take some calls. First up, Cindy in Monterey. You're on the air with Jeffrey. Go ahead.
Hi, Jeffrey. Hi, Pierre.
Cindy. Hello.
I don't know how many of the listeners read the novel Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, but it's a novel about a very bad fairy. He wasn't really a devil, but he was a fairy. And he cut this woman's finger off, and he didn't seem to want to move into the future, I guess you say. So it was about magic and superstition and censorship and propaganda, King George. And it was just a very deep book that helped you kind of see the smoking mirrors and the delusionary policies. Like you just stated a moment ago, wrong but strong. Well, that's a failed policy from the gate. So how is it going to work? You cannot believe in a system of wrong and strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't work. So we have.
Well, it doesn't work for you, Cindy. Cindy, it doesn't work for you, and it doesn't work for me.
No, and of course it doesn't work.
There are a lot
on vacation time.
There are a lot of boneheads out there who buy it, though. We've got to be realistic.
Well, there's something in the water. Do you know Romans poisoned themselves and they didn't know it?
Very good. Cindy, I'm jammed for time here.
I recommend that book to anyone that wants to understand the Magna Carta.
Very good. Thanks for your call today. Now to Susan in Santa Cruz. Hello, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter and Jeffrey. I was listening when you had, what's his name, Kaz?
Faz.
Here? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm hearing a lot of is, I'll say we progressives, because we're not always Democrats, sitting around and talking about what the Democrats should do. And I think there's some framing that needs to take place, some new framing in the way we talk about ourselves, because it leaves us open and vulnerable in a way that lets the other guy just move right in with his attacks and, you know, all the things that they do. And I think sitting around and talking about whether Nancy Pelosi, for instance, was right or wrong, you know, one of the good things about Democrats is that we do think for ourselves. So it shouldn't really matter what Nancy said.
It's fair game for discussion.
Yes, it is, but I think what it's doing is, I think what would be so great for him, because he is so knowledgeable, is to find those Democrats in power that he can influence for all of us. Instead of sitting around and talking about what's not happening, we need to be active and we need to be framing our language in a way that presents us as powerful. I don't mean powerful, but, you know, powerfully, personally powerful, so that we can move forward and change what's going on. And I think we're weakening ourselves by taking these other stances. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, let's get a reaction from Jeffrey. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had two quick things. So, first of all, it is important as we head into the elections, and we've got 48 days left into the elections, to focus negative critiques on the opposition as much as possible.
Right.
The other issue is that a big change that's happened over the past year is that Democratic leadership actually listens very carefully to the discussions that are going on in progressive talk radio and on the blogs. And so the conversations that we have, even if they are critical of what they're saying, are very important to elected officials, to their staffers, and to people who are on the campaign trail. So even if at times it seems a little bit directed, believe it or not, it is really, really valuable to people. And the conversations that we have in places like this are picked up, appreciated, and used. That's a really important thing to note, that just conversing like this, talking critically about how we're talking, is something that's become an incredible resource to our elected officials.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, Susan, thank you for your call. Jeffrey, a listener named Charles called me last week and then followed up with an email. And he said, you know, in order to cross over to centrist voters, the non-aligned, and some Republicans who might be peeled off this year, the Democrats should use a mantra to the effect of George Bush can't be trusted because he has bad judgment. And Charles' idea is that you want to steer away from inflammatory language like he's a liar and, you know, all the things that I say on this program.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, well, I was just on Wednesday on Tom Hartman's show. We had a conversation about the farewell speech that Dwight Eisenhower gave. Right, when
The military-industrial complex.
By Dwight Eisenhower, and it's a great speech, and that's all about the threats that are out that were out there at that time that he saw to good judgment in American leadership. And in particular, he uses this idea of balance, the idea that we always have to balance corporate interests with scientific interests and balance our strength with our ability to be good diplomats. In the area of national security, Eisenhower argued that the key to American strength was bringing even the weakest nations to the table to talk about issues as equals, that a true, strong American diplomacy is based on that, and that the great threat to our ability to use that judgment is the military-industrial complex. So I do believe that a return to that language of good judgment is a good way to go at this time.
All right, Jeffrey, we're out of time. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Peter.
Jeffrey Feldman, visit the website frameshopisopen.com. Coming up next, Dr. Stephen Miles talks about torture and medical complicity in the Bush administration. I'm Peter B. Collins.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A deal on handling terror suspects.
I'm very proud of what we've accomplished today.
Walmart marks down many prescriptions to just $4 a refill.
This is awesome. I mean, $4 is $4.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
I want to thank the members of the United States Senate.
President Bush says the compromise reached today with key Senate Republicans will preserve the CIA program to interrogate suspected terrorists and get their secrets. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has more.
After a nasty public squabble that divided President Bush from prominent Senate Republicans and his former Secretary of State Colin Powell, agreement was reached on how to treat and try detainees. Senator John McCain says it keeps American principles intact, rejects torture, and would let the president fight terrorists without backing away from the Geneva Convention.
The agreement that we've entered into gives the president the tools that he needs to continue to fight the war on terror and bring these evil people to justice.
Many details are still unclear, and there is no guarantee this bill will pass, but a major impasse has been broken. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The devil is in those details, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This deal doesn't just have to pass the political test in Congress with members of the House and Democrats. It also has to ultimately pass legal muster, and that could include a review by the U.S. Supreme Court in June. Five justices said that Congress had to authorize the White House's tribunal plan, but that authorization and the plan itself still can't violate the Constitution, and right now that is the open question.
Now this.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender
chicken garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
The directions on many medications say shake well, and that's what Walmart did to the drug market today, announcing it will start selling nearly 300 generics at just $4 for a one-month supply.
This is a kickoff of a program that will roll into Florida and to as many places in the country as we can.
For some people, this means a savings of hundreds of dollars a month. As it does with other things it sells, Walmart is using its size to squeeze suppliers for lower prices. House Republicans have tentative agreement on low-cost prescription drugs from Canada that would allow U.S. citizens to bring back a 90-day supply of medicine, but Internet and mail-order purchases would still be illegal. New advice from the Centers for Disease Control. Everyone should be tested for the AIDS virus.
The new CDC guidelines really respond to an urgent need for new approaches to finding the 250,000 Americans who have HIV and don't know they're infected.
That's the CDC's Julie Gerberding announcing the campaign to routinely test all Americans between the ages of 13 and 64. But some doctors worry about the cost of testing so many people not in high-risk groups. These are merely recommendations, and it's not clear whether medical insurance programs will go along. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
A former military intelligence officer claimed last year that before 9/11, a secret unit called Able Danger had identified four of the 19 hijackers and linked them to Al-Qaeda. Allegedly, Pentagon lawyers blocked the unit from telling the FBI what it knew. Today, a Pentagon report disputes those claims, saying there is no evidence that Able Danger had information that could have prevented the terrorist attacks. The 9/11 Commission called for new security standards for driver's licenses to prevent forgery and counterfeiting. Congress incorporated that recommendation in the Real ID Act of 2005. Now, the hard part.
It's going to affect just about everybody in the United States.
William Pound at the National Conference of State Legislatures says all of us will have to get new licenses.
Our estimate is that the costs over a five-year basis will be about $11 billion.
The law authorizes Congress to pay for the changeover, but doesn't specify an amount. Insurgents in Iraq seem to be running out of suicide bombers. Iraq's defense ministry says insurgents have taken to kidnapping people, then letting them drive away in cars booby-trapped with explosives. The vehicles are detonated by remote control. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Now, how hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offer to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
Pakistan.
And we launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Progressive talk from the left coast.
You came up on me like a landslide. Once in a while I get taken like that and I like it.
All right, Bob, we're in a hurry. Can you get to the chorus, please? Thank you. Oh, no, no, no. He's going to sing another verse. Here we go. Thank you, Bob. You're going to get what's coming. That's Robert Palmer's tune. And it struck me that America's torture policy is, yeah, those nasty terrorists are going to get what's coming. And it doesn't matter what international standards are, whether our policies debase the United States and invite enemies to do the same to our captives or detainees. And one of the, in my view, little discussed aspects of our torture policy is the required complicity of medical specialists, nurses, doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, in the actual practice of intense interrogations that I call torture. And there's a powerful new book out. It's in hardcover. It's called Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. Its author, Dr. Stephen Miles, joins us this hour. He's an expert in medical ethics, human rights, and international health care. He is a practicing medical doctor, and he served as the chief medical officer for a Cambodian refugee camp, worked on AIDS prevention in Sudan, tsunami relief in Indonesia, and he's worked with the research committee of the Center for Victims of Torture. Dr. Miles, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's absolutely a pleasure to be talking to you.
Can I thank you for a powerful book and for the tone of the book, because your anger comes through on many pages.
Yeah, you know, actually, people have had different views on that. Some people say it's too cool and measured, and other people say it's too hot and bothered. So, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm not a member of your profession, but I respect that you hold yourself and your colleagues to a high standard, and you are seeing that eroded through America's practices and policies in the so-called war on terror.
Yeah, we have to be accountable because, you know, docs are really the frontline human rights monitors. For any prison in the world, we are there when the Red Cross isn't. We can get to any part of the prison. And even if we don't see the abuses, we get to see the signs of the abuses, and we're trained to recognize it, even when the abuse is crafted to be concealed. And it's just plain amazing that we didn't blow the whistle on this.
Yeah. And we'll come back to the issues of medical ethics and the role that medical professionals have been forced to play, and perhaps some have done it voluntarily in recent years. Your book does a great job of detailing the history of torture and the history of America's involvement, flirtation, with these harsh interrogation tactics. And first and foremost, your opinion, sir, does torture work?
Well, it's fascinating, actually. Torture's been extensively researched. The U.S. did about 200 studies in the post-World War II up and through the mid-70s. Israel did a bunch of studies. Britain did a bunch of studies with regard to IRA people. And I presume, you know, the East, behind the Iron Curtain, they did studies too, except we don't have the results. Torture doesn't work. It gets bad information. And it's been well established it gets bad information. A classic piece was the piece of information that said that Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda were cooperating on bioweapons. We took a guy off to Egypt. We tortured him there under our outsourcing program. And he came up with that piece of work that was used at the UN to create the permission for us to go into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And then President Bush used it in his State of the Union address. And it's just flat out not true.
The most compelling testimony I've heard to that point, Doctor, is from Phil Butler. He is a listener of this program. He lives in the Monterey area. He spent more time than John McCain at the Hanoi Hilton. And he came on our program one day, and I was moved almost to the point of tears by his description of the treatment, the very harsh treatment that he received, the efforts to get him to spill information. And so at a certain point, when the pain became too great, he said, okay, I'm going to talk. And one of the questions was, they wanted to know who the commander of the naval fleet in the Pacific was at the time that Phil Butler was taken into captivity. And I don't remember his exact answer, but it was to the equivalent of McHale or Gomer Pyle or something like that.
Yeah.
And the interrogators dutifully wrote it down and I'm sure sent that information up the line. And likewise, we heard the president in the incredible speeches that he has given lately try to suggest to Americans that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is designated as the mastermind of 9/11 and who we have now learned was in the gulags in Eastern Europe and was recently shipped to Guantanamo Bay. Bush wants us to believe that he still has information that we can torture out of him that could save American lives. Now, that guy's been in our custody for 4 years. Anybody who knows anything about the way the terror cells work and the chain of command, the decision-making, the way, you know, cells are operated independently and with, you know, blind attribution, has to suspect that this guy's information could not be of any value whatsoever.
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, one of the real tragedies here is that we have our guys over in Iraq and our women, too. And I was recently talking to a Marine intelligence official who worked over there. And he was there for 2 years, and he said one of the really big problems is that we are getting this information under torture. And then what we are doing is we are sending our troops out on these very dangerous wild goose chases, essentially chasing bad information that we've pulled out by force.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the other thing that's always trotted out is this idea of a ticking time bomb.
Right.
All right? We intercept a suspect who knows about an action that is imminent. And the idea is that somehow, by violating our own standards of humanity and human rights, that we could get a person like that who is likely to be a fanatic and, you know, very committed to keeping concealed the information that he or she has, that somehow we could torture them enough that they would cough this up in time for us to get the damsel off the railroad tracks before the train comes through. I'm thinking in cartoons here.
Right.
And it really just defies reality. Because
it does defy reality, and also I've personally chased down every ticking time bomb story that the government has, and none of them stand up. For example, there was this guy who we said was part of a plot to put bombs on 7 Trans-Pacific airliners that would then blow up en route from the Philippines to the United States. And we claimed that we were able to avert that plot at the last minute because of ticking time bomb scenario. In fact, that information was found on his laptop when he was picked up. And the information that he gave under abusive interrogation was simply false. In Israel, the Israeli security forces wanted to get legal permission to use torture, and they went to the Israeli Supreme Court, which has the power to authorize that. And the Supreme Court said to the Israeli security forces, bring us a case. Clean it up so that there's no national security interest here. We want to see one good case of how this ticking time bomb thing works in practice. And the Israeli security forces could not come up with one case, and so therefore torture is illegal in Israel today.
Mm-hmm. And tell me your thoughts about Alan Dershowitz, the headline-seeking attorney and law professor from Harvard, who articulated a plan early in the post-9/11 period that if we're going to torture people, we ought to legalize it. And, you know, operated according to standards and a law. Now, I never interviewed Dershowitz regarding that, so I don't know if his tongue was in cheek and he was simply trying to say, I'm opposed to torture, and if this administration is going to do it, I want it out in the open. Or if it was a thoughtful concept on the part of Dershowitz and that he really meant it. What's your take?
Well, he's very serious about this, but the irony is that torture warrants have been used in every society that has tortured going back at least 500 years, that the essence of torture has always been to develop careful legal procedures to channel it. And what's so interesting is that all of these procedures have broken down. There's no way to channel torture once it gets unleashed. And it's hard for me to understand why Dershowitz, who's a very bright guy, seems unable to read the historic record on this.
Mm-hmm.
Ticking time bomb scenario doesn't work. Torture warrants don't work. And in fact, what happens when societies embark on torture is they destroy civil liberties and they destroy civil society, which is, after all, our primary policy objective to promote.
Indeed. We're going to take a break and return with Dr. Stephen H. Miles. His book is Oath Betrayed. If you have a question or comment on the debate over torture policy in this country or the legacy of what we've done so far, I invite your calls. Dr. Miles with us for the entire hour, so grab a line and we will talk at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at Moore Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by Moore Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 91 Mercedes 500 SL, pearl black with light gray leather, 73,000 original miles. This two-owner car comes with both tops, chrome wheels, and CD changer. Specially priced this week, only $18,988.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Concern about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. Problems in Santa Cruz right now. Southbound along Highway 17, right at Highway 1. It's an accident off to the right-hand shoulder. A vehicle was hit by debris that fell off a pickup truck. That means more debris could be on the highway. Use extra caution. Off the freeway system in Watsonville, Browns Valley Road at Avocado Road, an injury crash here, a solo vehicle crash. And taking a look at the Hollister area, San Juan Hollister Road at Union Road, a three-vehicle crash, a little tangled up there. No injuries involved. Also in Prunedale, Castrovel Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road. It's a car fire. The pickup truck on fire is in a field, though, so no lanes are blocked. This look brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands at discount prices every day. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with doctor and author Stephen Miles from the University of Minnesota. His new book is called Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. It's a powerful indictment of the Bush policies. And it exposes the connivance, participation of medical professionals in the torture process itself. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to participate. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road to hell.
Well, I would say the road to hell might take you through Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib, or one of the other detention centers operated by the CIA or the U.S. military. We're learning more about what occurred at Bagram in Afghanistan, and there's still some murky information about detention centers in Eastern Europe that have now been emptied. Those detainees have been sent to Guantanamo Bay, according to the president.
Well, that's not true. I'm sorry.
Thank you for... Go ahead and correct me. I don't mind
actually,
at all.
We, on the rendition program, we have somewhere between 200 and 350 prisoners. And the president brought 14 to Guantanamo. So we've got somewhere around at least 200 who are unaccounted for.
Okay. And have we identified any of the other detention centers? Bulgaria has been mentioned.
It's very clear that, these centers open and close a great deal, so it's hard to keep track. But we know that Uzbekistan, Egypt, Pakistan, Thailand, the Philippines, at one time and maybe now Morocco, possibly Kosovo. So they've been pretty much widely spread. Oh, and Syria.
Yeah, I was just going to mention the torture timeshare in Syria.
Yep.
We outsourced that in the case of Maher Arar, the Canadian, which was documented in the Canadian Commission's report issued on Monday, makes that very clear. Dr. Miles, I want to turn to Chapter 3 of your book. You open with the anecdote of an individual named Monadel al-Jamadi.
Right.
And on November 4th, 2003, American Navy SEAL Team 7 went to his home in Baghdad, and they shackled him, flipped him into the back of a Humvee, beat, kicked, and sat on him during the short ride to an army base. Then he was taken to Camp Jenny Pazzi. There he was threatened, interrogated in what is called the romper room as a medic watched. And ultimately, he complained he was dying, and they didn't believe him. They said, "You wish you'd be dying." And, in fact, he did die in their custody.
Right. He got taken. He was beaten and kicked in the back of these Humvees as he went around Baghdad. And he actually got hit on the side of the head with a rifle butt, and he had a couple ribs broken, too. So when he got to Abu Ghraib in the early hours of the morning, he was pretty badly beaten up, and he was naked. He was his head was in a sandbag. And they took him into a shower room and tied his arms behind his back and then ran a cord from his back of his arms up to a window, a set of window bars behind him so that if his knees buckled, his shoulders would be wrenched backwards out of their sockets. He still had his head in a sandbag at that time, and about an hour later, while he was being interrogated, his knees did buckle. The interrogator called for the MPs to come in and tighten the cord to force him to stand up because they felt he was being non-cooperative. The guards couldn't stand him up, and so they determined actually then that he was dead. He was then put in a body bag, which was filled with ice, and while CIA and Army were fighting over who'd killed this guy. And the next morning, a medic came in and stuck an IV in his arm, and they wheeled him out on a gurney as if he just had a heart attack, and that's what they told people he'd had.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happened was that the body was, an autopsy was done by the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology way back in November of 2003. And they found that he died of trauma, but they sat on this autopsy, and it never got out.
Is this the guy they gave three death certificates to?
No, that was another one.
Different case, yeah.
Yeah, and so what happened then, we see this body packed in ice when the Abu Ghraib pictures came out. Now, if the pathologists had done their job and promptly released that death certificate, as they were required to do by the Geneva Accords, we would have had an early warning sign that something had gone seriously wrong in that prison,
mm-hmm.
but they kept quiet.
Now, Dr. Miles, in your book, you go further than anybody I've seen to date in establishing the real culpability for the policies that permitted these kinds of abuses to occur. And the for the public record, we have a few bad apples, you know, Ivan Frederick and, you know, a handful of others who've been convicted. And Colonel Pappas, I guess, accepted some kind of censure or reprimand. But Jeffrey Miller, the general who was sent to Abu Ghraib to Gitmoize it, and after his arrival, these activities took place. He was permitted at one point to take essentially the Fifth Amendment. Then they required him to testify. But beyond that, he has not really been held accountable for this policy, has he?
No, none of the major players have been held accountable for this policy for several reasons. First off, the military has a rule that in order to be indicted, you have to be indicted by a superior officer. And so by structuring these investigations so that they're done by two-star generals, they essentially confine responsibility to one-star general, such as General Karpinski, who was in charge of the Abu Ghraib prison.
Right.
And she was the highest-ranking person to get a career sanction. But all of the more senior personnel, like the head of the Iraq theater, like General Miller, are two-star generals, and so they can't be prosecuted by the military because the military won't allocate a superior general to go after them.
Hmm. That's convenient.
It's very convenient. Now, the other thing that's important to note is that nobody has gone after the culpability for the senior defense and Department of Justice people. Who
well, let's take a break, and then we'll talk about Rumsfeld and the folks at the Pentagon and their role in the torture policy. That's coming up next, and we'll get to your phone calls, too, so hold on if you're on the line. Dr. Stephen Miles is our guest. His book is called Oath Betrayed. It's out in hardcover from Random House. It's a very powerful indictment of the Bush administration and their conduct of these interrogation procedures. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Hurricane Hugo hits the White House. This is Dave Ross on the CBS radio network. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez did his stand-up routine at the UN yesterday, calling President Bush the devil and saying he smelled like sulfur, which was hurtful enough. But then he accused Mr. Bush of talking as if he owned the world. And the delegates erupted, gave him a curtain call. I decided to go back to the archives and check because I don't like hearing my president criticized, especially by a guy like Chavez, who, according to the U.S. State Department, limits press freedom, abuses detainees, and wiretaps without warrants. So I went back into the archives to see if George Bush does talk like he owns the world. Roll it.
Once again, we are called to defend the safety of our people and the hopes of all mankind. And we accept this responsibility.
See, he's not saying we own the world, just that we are responsible for the hopes of all mankind.
We're changing the world. And the world will be better off, and America will be more secure as a result of the actions we're taking.
We're changing the world. It's a remodel, not a teardown.
Freedom is the Almighty's gift to every man and woman in this world. And as the greatest power on the face of the earth, we have an obligation to help the spread of freedom.
Okay, well, that's a little proprietary.
America will not impose our own style of government on the unwilling. Our goal, instead, is to help others find their own voice, attain their own freedom.
See, we're not telling you what to do. We merely suggest. And you know, Hugo, if people like you would just sell us the oil and shut up, we'd get along just fine.
Now this.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I make the 8-pound Orrick XL Hotel Vacuum. It's so powerful, it vacuums hotels around the globe, from Texas to Tokyo, from Montreal to Munich. And now you can take the Orrick Challenge and try my 8-pound Orrick Hotel Vacuum risk-free for 15 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Why anybody would want to use any other vacuum is Greek to me.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Tired of stale, syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh, local, liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal, on the show, every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Listen to broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks as he is joined by health crusader Lisa LaRose and Western Feng Shui master Ann Christie for One Wisdom, a program designed to bring you conversations that invoke your creativity, playfulness, and well-being. Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. At Abu Ghraib at Guantanamo Bay. Were medical professionals required to participate in the interrogation procedures that crossed the line to torture? And did any of them yell fire?
Never comes a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The
That's Michael Franti and Spearhead, the title song from the new CD. It's called Yell Fire. And it's true that you're not supposed to yell fire in a crowded theater, but you should yell fire when human lives are at risk or when things are going on that cross the ethical, moral line. We're talking with Dr. Stephen H. Miles. His new book is called Oath Betrayed, subtitled Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. And he's a medical doctor and a professor at the University of Minnesota. And Dr. Miles, what is your sense of the role that medical professionals have played, and have they tried to challenge the policies of General Miller and all the way up the line to Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld?
Well, American medicine has been aggressive against torture in other countries, but we were entirely caught unprepared for this. And if one looks at the role of the American Medical Association, for example, they basically sat on their hands for the first year and a half of this scandal, and indeed before that, because everybody knew this was going on, but nobody wanted to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, did Rumsfeld design this policy and personally approve it?
There's no question Rumsfeld designed it. He wrote a first policy, then he hired a working group to refine it, and then he signed off on it. He wrote, as he did that, that he knew this policy violated the Geneva Accords. And furthermore, he was informed by his own Defense Department experts, even as he was signing off on it, that torture just plain didn't work.
And yet he's managed to wriggle out of any real responsibility for it. Is that the deniability process where, you know, they set it up so that only lower people are held responsible?
No, I don't think so. Rumsfeld's cleanly got his hands all over this. Those documents are readily available. I think what will happen here ultimately is that the European human rights community will bring a subpoena or an indictment against him. as they did against Pinochet. And the Pinochet indictment really resulted in the end of Pinochet's historical reputation and triggered us eventually his trial. Now, we've seen this with regard to Secretary of State Kissinger, who really is severely limited in his travel because of an indictment against him that's been raised in Chile. And I think that we're going to see an indictment or subpoena filed against Rumsfeld very shortly after he leaves office. Now, whether or not it comes to trial, I think, is actually not so important. The mere fact that this is out there will do an enormous amount to reestablishing the credibility of these extremely important human rights standards.
Let's take some calls. First up, Ben from Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. I'm going to try to intelligently get this question out. I'm directing this very directed at those that are angry with Hugo Chavez's comments and those that are supporting Mr. Bush. This is my question. By the great Homeland Gestapo supercomputer, let's say you have been anonymously called a terrorist. Now, one of the tactics they use is they torture children in front of parents. Okay, you and your children, your daughter and your son, have been taken to one of these new concentration camps that already exist. Okay, you're taken in this place where you know you're going to be tortured, waterboarded, or however, or maybe your children. In one room, you see Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Bush, and in the other room, you see Clinton, Gore, and Carter. Now, which room? And I'm directing this at you, Republican Bush lovers out there. You're going to go into one of those rooms, and you're going to be tortured, or maybe your kids. Which room would you choose to go in, and why? And please have the guts to call this gentleman and this doctor, these good Americans, and give them your answer. I'm dying to hear it. And thank you, Peter. I've said enough.
All right, Ben. Thank you for that question. We'll see if anybody steps up to answer. John in Carmel Valley, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Stephen Miles.
Yes, Dr. Miles, I heard you about 2 months ago on a program I never expected to even encounter. I was just fishing through the AM dial, and I heard you on KMJ in Fresno. You were with a host, Ian Punnett, who I was unfamiliar with. It was some coast-to-coast live thing. I was incredibly heartened by what you had to say, but disheartened by some of the callers. And I want to know if you remember one in particular, a doctor who insisted that he would, without question, engage in torture, using that argument that the right especially adheres to, that if it meant saving lives, he would, without any hesitation, engage in torture.
Was that Dr. Mengele?
Well, it could have been. He didn't give his name. But
all right, John, hold on. Go ahead, Dr. Miles.
Well, I think that this is a very interesting thing, because what torture does, it does not save lives. What torture does is it destroys civil society. And that's why torture is targeted, usually in countries, against its intelligentsia, against labor unions, teachers, journalists, and so forth. And when we recently went to try and protect a very brave lawyer who's a dissident in China and invoked the Geneva Conventions and asked China to assure that he got medical care, China basically told us, you've got to be kidding. Who are you to invoke the Geneva Conventions for us when you have introduced into the world stage the principle that a national executive, with the assent of the legislature, can abolish the Geneva Accords on the basis of national necessity. And so that we have taken apart a key way of promoting civil society around the world, which is enormously dangerous to us. That doc was a nutcase.
I just want to compliment you again. You are one of, I don't have a lot of heroes, but you are one of them.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate the call. And Dr. Miles, while we're crediting other radio shows, I learned about you and your book from a show in San Francisco called Conversations on the Coast with my friend Jim Foster.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good calls outside of the Midwest, and I must say that radio is an incredibly powerful media, and we should not take for granted radio, or we should not take for granted things like the Freedom of Information Act, which makes this kind of research possible.
Indeed. Your next caller is Dave from Humboldt County. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and Dr. Miles. I have been drawing a generalized conclusion that I'd like to share with you here, and that is that I think this neocon faction in our White House, to include Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rove, Condoleezza, there is within them a generalized anger, a contempt towards the have-nots, the less fortunate. They see them as the enemy. They are indeed gratified by inflicting harm, pain, if they can cause them to be homeless, cold, hungry, without medical care. There's some payoff in it for them. It's also totally consistent that torturing people is a way of dealing with this generalized anger that they have about them. That's my theory, and so I throw it out there.
All right, Dr. Miles?
Well, I think that, you know, we've not made our world better by pursuing this policy. In Iraq, one of the things that happened when the Abu Ghraib pictures came out, we went from 75% of the Iraq population supporting our presence there and the mission there down to 20%. We basically destroyed ourselves as the potential for being a political midwife for any kind of civil society in Iraq. We simply cannot, as a country, nor can the West Bloc generally, alienate half the world's population and see that as a strategic political goal or solution. It's an extremely unstable situation that we've gotten ourselves into because of very unwise foreign policy.
Indeed. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Miles from the University of Minnesota. The book is called Oath Betrayed. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, you can still talk with Dr. Miles. He's with us till the top of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-573-8372. Dr. Miles, I've been deeply offended, and it's kind of shaken my sense of what it means to be an American. To see this ongoing debate, as last year the president challenged John McCain, they compromised, and then Bush signed the bill, the defense appropriation bill that included the McCain amendment, and issued a signing statement saying that he'll follow it when he wants to. And this year we've had Bush and Cheney actively trying to twist arms on Capitol Hill to jam through policies that they say, you know, provide the required clarity. So our professionals who are doing the, you know, amped-up interrogations know exactly where the law is so that they can stay on this side of it. I view that as a disingenuous and insulting argument by the president, because what he really wants is the freedom to continue to torture certain individuals, you know, as he sees fit. And the way the laws are written, there's no habeas corpus right in either the more moderate McCain version or the White House version. I understand they've now compromised, and there's still no habeas corpus language there. And the specter of this bargaining going on over the tawdry concepts of torture, which we agree is, you know, an ineffective approach that only lowers us to the level of barbarism. How do you react to this debate and the way the president has conducted it?
Well, here I guess I take issue with some of my friends. I think that, first off, the Geneva Accords and the Convention Against Torture are not ours to amend. And so every nation that embarks on torture, every torturing society, always creates laws to justify torture. Frankly, we don't have the authority to modify these conventions. These conventions and this international law belongs to the global community. And indeed, at the end of World War II, when the Geneva Conventions were made, in the face of Nazism and in the face of the terrible torture that was inflicted by the Japanese on their prisoners of war, the world community came together and said no appeal to national sovereignty will allow for this type of mistreatment of prisoners. It is a crime now and forevermore. And so we can't modify these. And we or our nation will be held historically accountable, and hopefully the perpetrators of these abuses will be held actually accountable in some sort of court of world opinion and perhaps even judgment.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Dr. Stephen Miles, and there's room for your call at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take more calls in the next segment. And coming up next hour, we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone with Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller, one of 300 rabbis who have issued a call for peace. We'll talk about that and take more of your calls straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Coming soon, Sundays 3 to 5.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. Still problems in Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 17 at Highway 1. An accident off to the right-hand shoulder. Vehicle was hit by debris that fell off a pickup truck, so debris is still an issue in the area. In Hollister, San Juan Hollister Road at Union Road, three vehicles tangled up in a crash. In Prunedale, a problem. Castroville Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road, it's a car fire. This pickup truck fully engulfed, but he's off to the shoulder of the road, so no highway lanes are blocked. Latest problems, though, in SoCal for 41st Avenue. That's Oakell Drive. An accident there. It's just been reported. This look is brought to you by Safeway and Healthy Choice. Want to throw a football at the Cal Stanford game for $500,000? Use your Safeway Club card to buy Healthy Choice products through September 26th for your chance to win. Now, no purchases necessary. See store for official rules. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble.
Mission accomplished.
Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
That's Yikes McGee from Baltimore. We continue now with Dr. Stephen Miles. His new book is a powerful indictment of the Bush administration's detention and interrogation policies. I call them torture. It's called Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. And Dr. Miles, with your indulgence, I want to read two separate parts from your book. One is a memo that Rumsfeld signed regarding interrogation and the roles of clinicians. He said, first, the use of isolation as an interrogation technique requires detailed implementation instructions, including medical and psychological review. Second, application of these interrogation techniques is subject to the following general safeguards. The detainee is medically and operationally evaluated as suitable. And third, the secretary required reasonable safeguards, including the presence or availability of qualified military personnel. Now, earlier in the book, you cite the American College of Physicians Code, which is, under no circumstances is it ethical for a physician to be used as an instrument of government to weaken the physical or mental resistance of a human being, nor should a physician participate in or tolerate cruel or unusual punishment or disciplinary activities beyond those permitted by the United Nations standard minimum rules for the treatment of prisoners. The doctor's fundamental role is to alleviate the distress of his or her fellow men, and no motive, whether personal, collective, or political, shall prevail against this higher purpose. So we have medical professionals in a pickle, and some apparently refused CIA orders recently, and some CIA interrogators pushed back, which caused in part the need to amend, or at least a desire to amend, American policy. What is your resolution moving forward in how we can protect medical professionals from being drawn into these unethical practices?
Well, number one, it just requires fortitude. My friends who work in countries where there's torture face incredibly grave risks. Dr. Uzun in Turkey, for example, he was reporting on torture on people who came out of police stations. They took him to jail. They beat him. They beat him with a hose. They waterboarded him. They raped him with a Coke bottle. They destroyed his office. He gets out of jail. He says, I'm going to continue to stand by the Hippocratic Oath. No American military professional faced any risks like that. They didn't face the fact of going into the very system that they would have stood up against.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we need to do is we need an independent investigation, almost something like a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, independently chartered with the power of subpoena. And we need a radical declassification of the prison documents, which do not bear on national security, but in fact only bear on very embarrassing and shameful acts committed by our government.
Well, if Bush impaneled such a group, wouldn't he put Kissinger in charge?
Well, I don't think that it's going to be Bush to impanel. I think that it will be done as a part of a future historical project, perhaps, mm-hmm. And hopefully by the next administration.
Well, I do agree with you conceptually, because we've got to find a way to communicate to the world that the American people reject the actions at Abu Ghraib and elsewhere as much as the victims do.
Well, I think actually we're seeing that. Right after the pictures came out, they kind of flashed, and then it kind of died down a bit. But what we've seen since then is a gradual mobilization of support and an understanding on the part of the American people and, more importantly, or equally importantly, in the military themselves, realizing what a wrong turn this has been.
Yeah.
And I think that the mere fact that you've got this kickback coming from the right is basically a recognition on the part of the American public that we just have to reject this policy.
Next, we go to Gary in Santa Cruz. Hello, Gary. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Stephen Miles.
Hi. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah. My question for Dr. Miles is, it seems to me that the Geneva Conventions, it's little more than structured terrorism. And if you're in a room with a real brutal man, what recourse do you have?
Tell me what you mean that the Geneva Conventions are structured terrorism.
If you're arrested for something, you can lawyer up, but you can't do that. I don't know what the process is. I certainly have no idea.
All right, Dr. Miles?
Yeah, well, I think people very much underestimate the power of the Geneva Conventions. We have used the Geneva Conventions to secure visitation rights, medical examinations, and even the release of prisoners around the world. We have lost the ability to do that. And that includes on behalf of our own soldiers who are taken POW.
Right.
So the Geneva Conventions are actually a form of appeal to law which can be used both by governments and by human rights organizations such as Amnesty International to mount pressure on abusive imprisoning authorities. The Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture don't simply prohibit torture. They prohibit coercive methods to obtain any information.
Mm-hmm.
The old, you remember on the old TV shows, they used to say name, rank, and serial number?
Right.
That is what is a prisoner is required to give, and the Geneva Conventions ban coercion beyond obtaining that information. And so I think that we in the United States, because we are a society where most of the population never sees torture, don't understand how enormously destructive torture is, not simply to the individuals who are imprisoned and beaten, but also to the very possibility of democratic reform in those societies.
Mm-hmm. Next, we go to Joe in Monterey. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Fascinating program. Wanted to ask Dr. Miles, way back when the Abu Ghraib thing first, when CBS was pressured not to release the information on the abusive prisoners, shortly after that, the president was requested to talk to the president of the International Red Cross,
right.
And he came with not just Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, but he actually had 24 locations where they had found abuse violating the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, let me comment.
And that evening, President Bush was giving a speech, a national speech, and said he couldn't discuss it with him. And so instead,
all right, Joe, just hold there because we only have a minute. Go ahead, Dr. Miles.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting about this is it's not Abu Ghraib. Basically, we've got a coherent system of policies that are identical throughout at least 20 sites in Iraq, plus Guantanamo, plus at least a half a dozen in Afghanistan that I'm aware of, and so that this is not a thing that is just into one area.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Miles, about 30 seconds. Your final comments, please.
It's very important for you all to write your congressman and get this deal done to uphold the letter of the Geneva Conventions, and we should all engage on this as probably the most important human rights activity we can engage in right now.
Thank you very much, and I would only add to that we need to demand habeas corpus protection for these individuals as well. Thank you very much, Dr. Miles. The book is Oath Betrayed. It's out in hardcover from Random House, and it's a powerful book. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. We'll kick it off with Rabbi Julie Sachs-Toller. She is putting out a plea with 300 other rabbis for peace here at Rosh Hashanah. I'm Peter B. Collins.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The standoff between the White House and three Republican senators ended today with a compromise on rules for the interrogation and trial of suspected terrorists. CBS News Capitol Hill correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
This paves the way for Congress to pass and the president to sign in law two very important things. Number one, the ability for the CIA to continue interrogating its so-called high-value terror suspects. And number two, military trials for those 450-plus suspects being held at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
I'm Mark Knoller in Orlando.
Embracing the agreement on the bill, President Bush says it clears the way for the U.S. to capture, detain, and interrogate terrorists. Further, the measure creates military commissions to put those he calls ruthless killers on trial. At the White House insistence, the bill does not entitle defendants to have access to classified material unless it is presented by prosecutors, which the White House considers most unlikely.
Two developments today will make prescription drugs more affordable for many Americans. Walmart announced it will start selling nearly 300 generic drugs for just $4 a month. And CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports Congress seems ready to relax the restrictions on medicine from Canada.
A rare defeat for lobbyists from the pharmaceutical industry. If this measure does pass, and now House Republicans have agreed to go along, U.S. citizens crossing the border from Canada will be allowed to carry a 90-day supply of prescription drugs. There have been complaints recently about U.S. border control officers confiscating medicines bought at low prices from Canadian drugstores.
Shannon Torres, accused of kidnapping an infant and slashing the child's mother, was brought to court in Franklin County, Missouri today.
Mrs. Torres, anything to say to the baby's family?
She had nothing to say outside, and when she stood handcuffed and shaking before the judge, Torres barely whispered her not guilty plea. The child was found unharmed and returned to her parents late Tuesday. Authorities say Torres claims she snatched the baby after suffering a miscarriage, but they found no evidence to substantiate that. Two more American soldiers have died in Iraq, one killed yesterday by a roadside bomb in northern Baghdad, another today in Anbar province. The bodies of more than three dozen Iraqis were found dumped in the streets of Baghdad today. Many had been tortured. New York City's chief medical examiner tells the families of 9/11 victims that he's resuming efforts to identify remains. Dr. Charles Hirsch credits recent advances in the technique for extracting DNA from bone. CBS's Phil Hirschcorn.
Families who haven't had any human remains, and it's about half of them, will certainly be pleased if Dr. Hirsch and the New York City Medical Examiner comes through with further identifications. For many of them, it's what they've been waiting for what some would call closure.
The Dow lost 79 points today, closing at 11,533. The Nasdaq down 15. This is CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's eight brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, how do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh. Sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just give me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's eight brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
A little-noticed provision in a law passed by Congress last year will require all of us to get new tamper-proof driver's licenses. And that, reports CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick, could be a real hassle.
Getting a driver's license is often frustrating, but some rules which may take effect soon...
It will clearly slow down the driver's licensing process significantly.
Those new federal rules may require the information you submit for your driver's license be verified, and you thought the lines at the local DMV were long now.
It may require... that the license won't be issued on a single visit.
William Pound of the National Conference on State Legislatures, which has just released a report showing the new changes could also cost as much as $11 billion. Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
TV or not TV? It's hardly a question at all anymore. Nielsen Media Research says the average American home now has more TVs than people. Half of all households have three sets or more, and the average person watches 4 hours and 35 minutes a day. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender
chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
We launch into the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's time for the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 888-5-PETER-B, toll free.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! You better put them hands together and act like you know it's in here. Cheek, cheek.
We try to bend some rules here and go for some firsts on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm betting that this is the first time Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller has been introduced with gospel music from Kirk Franklin.
Wow.
Hello, Rabbi.
It is the first time. Thank you so much.
I love this track. Julie Sachs Taller serves as assistant rabbi at Congregation Sherith Israel in San Francisco. She's a regional council member of the Progressive Jewish Alliance and on the rabbinic council, rabbinic cabinet at Brit Zedek V'Shalom Jewish Alliance. And that's the extent of my Hebrew, you can tell.
That was pretty good, Peter.
Let's try that again. Rabbinic cabinet of Brit Zedek V'Shalom Jewish Alliance for Justice and Peace.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a pretty much of a literal translation there. Brit Zedek means a covenant of justice or righteousness, and shalom is a word people know. So.
Sure, yeah. Now, you are one of 300 rabbis who have signed a very powerful letter calling for a rather simple idea. You want peace talks in the Middle East.
We do, and I'm proud to be among that many colleagues, especially at this very, really hard time in the wake of the war that just happened.
And you were in Israel, you told me in an email, for 2 weeks prior to the conflict with Hezbollah.
I was.
Tell me your sense of that.
Well, of course, we did not know that we were in the time that was immediately prior to the war. You don't know that, although you don't exactly know, but there was certainly tension building that whole time. And it had also been a few years since I had been in Israel, so I was aware of certain things that had changed. And aware of the increasing level of tension and that's where we were in the cycle of things, that you could tell that things were not necessarily headed in a good direction at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, keeping our focus here on dialogue, I don't want to draw you into deep politics. That is something that has been severely missing. And, for example, when Hamas won the election in the Palestinian territories, and members of Hamas ascended into the government, I felt that it would have been a good time for Israel, the United States, and the Palestinians to sit down and talk and try to chart a future that all could abide by. And instead, the U.S. and Israel, to my disappointment, took a pretty hardline preemptive approach.
Right, and decided not to negotiate and to really refuse to negotiate or even to talk with Hamas.
Mm-hmm. Right. And likewise, when the conflict developed in Lebanon, you know, the United States' first act was to rearm Israel and to delay the intervention of the United Nations and any attempts to impose an immediate ceasefire. It took 34 days to
right.
that finally for that finally to kick in.
It was quite upsetting to watch that happen.
And so, bottom line, you're not advocating a particular course of action other than that the parties sit down and try to work it out.
You're right. Especially at this time of year when Jews are getting ready to enter not only the Jewish New Year, which begins tomorrow night, but what we call the 10 days of awe, or the 10 days of atonement. It's a time of self-reflection. It's a time when we really try to focus actually not only on not blaming other people, but also on not blaming ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a time of reflection, a time of forgiveness for other people and for ourselves. And when I say forgiveness, it doesn't mean that if you have been wronged, and I think about this in the context of war, even as a country,
mm-hmm.
When your country has been wronged, it doesn't mean that you forgive and you say, oh, nothing mattered, that terrible things happened to us. It just means that you take some time to step back and you look at the process of how you have acted, and we try to look at what has really worked and what has not worked, and to have this beginning of the year be a time out when we think about how we might do things differently in the future. And when we think about what we really want for the Middle East and what we really want for Israel, we want safety, we want security, we want there to be neighborly relations, and that may be a long, we may be a long way from there. But the only way to get there is actually to be in a relationship and to mm-hmm. be in negotiation.
And Rabbi Sachs-Toller, one of my concerns is that before we've had a chance to reflect on Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Israel-Hezbollah conflict, yeah. that the Bush administration wants to rush into another military action, this time targeting Iran and possibly Syria. And again, I would like to see that, you know, we talked about this earlier on the program today. The president missed an opportunity. In 1961, Nikita Khrushchev came to the United Nations and famously pounded his shoe on the table.
Yeah.
And John F. Kennedy sat down and talked to him. And here, Bush had the opportunity. He and the president of Iran were in the same building for most of the same day. And they played a little hide-and-seek game and wouldn't even acknowledge one another, much less sit down and talk.
Yes, and I guess I want to make clear that I'm agreeing with you that when you say you want to talk, it doesn't mean that you have to like the policies of the people on the other side of the table,
mm-hmm.
but that there's a need to sit down at the table if we actually care about the lives of the citizens of all the countries we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't equal agreement just to sit down and talk with people, and the potential for making a huge difference and saving a lot of lives is there, where it isn't when you go straight to a military response.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me read just a quick passage here from the letter that you're a signatory
please.
To. Seek peace and pursue it. And this is influenced by Psalm 34. As rabbis, as Jews, as people who seek the welfare of Israel and the well-being of all people, we applaud the efforts of the UN, the U.S. administration, and all of the members of the international community who worked for a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. We pray that this is the first step in ongoing diplomatic efforts to remove Hezbollah's military threat to Israel, to strengthen the moderate forces of democratic process within Lebanon, and to achieve a lasting peace between Israel and her neighbors, including the Palestinian people. We urge the U.S. administration to re-engage with all of the important players in this conflict, including Iran and Syria, and to use its influence to promote political solutions rather than polarization and conflict. I think that's a very strong statement, and 300 American rabbis all across the country have signed this. Is there a website or other place where people can find this, Rabbi?
Yes. Let's see. If you Google, so people probably don't want to work on the Hebrew, you can Google Jewish Alliance for Justice and Peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And you'll come right up with the website.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, we want to wish people a Happy New Year,
mm-hmm.
Jews and non-Jews alike, and a prayer for self-reflection and for more peace in the coming year than we've seen more recently. Thanks so much for covering the call.
My pleasure, and thank you for standing up.
My pleasure, too.
Rabbi Julie Sachs-Toller, she's assistant rabbi at Congregation Sherith Israel in San Francisco. And I think that's an important statement. Now, we go to your phone calls. It's the Free Speech Zone for the remainder of this hour. I'm waiting to hear from you. Lines are open at our toll-free switchboard, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, peter at peterbcollins.com. We've had some pretty serious discussions today about rhetoric, about the action in Washington, D.C., and last hour, the powerful commentary of Dr. Stephen Miles on the Bush administration's practices of torture. So I'd like to hear from you. You can talk about those issues or anything else that you think other people would like to know about or hear your comments on. And all my lines are open right now, so we head to a break, and when we return, we'll be taking your calls. Again, my number is 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And we'll be right back and take your calls here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K-Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. More problems in Santa Cruz County. Right now, Highway 1 at Coast Road, a crash here involving two vehicles. They are off to the right-hand shoulder, still causing some slowing, though. Meanwhile, in Hollister, a problem now eastbound Highway 25 at Highway 156. It's a stalled big rig blocking lane of traffic. Cars are able to squeeze around it a bit. In Watsonville, a new crash. Dolan Road at Highway 1. It's actually a car off to the side of the road. Turns out there's a grass fire burning near the roadway as well, and the fire department not yet on the scene. Also in Santa Cruz, just coming in southbound, one at Morrissey Boulevard, a crash reported with a tow truck involved. This look at traffic is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai, are you ready for exceptional safety, space, and savings? Then you're ready for the Hyundai Challenge. Come in and test drive today at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
What you're thinking? There are some things you can't hide. I wanna know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
That's the Peter B. Collins Chorus here in the Free Speech Zone. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what's on your mind. Call me now. The lines are open toll-free at 888-573-8372. Or if you prefer, it's 888-5-PETER-B. And up first, we go to Arcata. Ethan's on the line. Hello, Ethan. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Ethan.
You've been talking about some great stuff today.
Thank you.
When the whole thing went down with 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and the president and the government in general claimed that there was a whole bunch of incompetence that was culpable for all the bad stuff that went on, I never believed it. Because they are the best-equipped people in the world. And that's the truth. And when the best-equipped people in the world tell you that they screwed up because of incompetence, it's usually because they're usually lying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, on that point, I have mixed feelings because we have seen, gross incompetence by the Bush administration in managing so many issues, and Katrina is the most obvious one. On the other hand, they have really had their way with the American government. I call it the wrecking crew, the leaders in Washington at the cabinet level who have gone in and dismantled or neutered some of the most effective policies and enforcement programs that were developed with a great deal of thought and sweat over many decades. And when you take the long view and look at what the Bush administration has achieved of the goals that they either articulated or we impute to them, you have to say that they've had quite a run. And they have, successfully dominated the political process, controlled all of the branches of government, packed the courts to give them the insurance that they needed when the Florida election was going to wobble out of their control, or on other issues as well. So it is a mixed bag, and I guess I may have confused you a little bit, but I'm conflicted as to just how effective the Bush administration can be. They clearly have screwed up big time on Iraq in many ways.
But they're
achieving their central goals, which was to try to redraw the Middle East in a way that doesn't make sense to me, but is clearly part of their vision.
Here's the thing. They haven't screwed up even in the slightest on anything. The things that these people are afraid of are totally different than the things that they're trying to convince us regular Americans to be afraid of. These people, the people in control of the Pentagon and in control of our government, are afraid of there not being any terrorists because that would allow for enough stability in society that people would wake up and be able to say, hey, look, rational arbitration and peaceful talk works much better than going in with guns and bullying people around. They need the terrorism just as much as, it's central to all of their policy and everything that they do. And when you look at them and you say these people are promoting terrorism, then each and every, and that promotion of terrorism is their central goal, then everything they do makes complete logical sense.
Well, you're making sense to me.
and it's so freaking crazy. But,
yeah.
It's what they're really afraid of is a new paradigm taking over humanity, a paradigm where everybody kind of realizes that this military option is just a total, it never has worked and it never will. And
you're correct that they're afraid of real democracy. They're afraid of real freedom. And while they have rhetoric that champions liberty and democracy and all of those themes, we know what they're really up to is concentrating power, concentrating control of the world's wealth, and really serving the interests of the ruling class at our expense.
Yeah. And one more point.
Okay.
I got lost in talking yesterday when I called, but I just want to say that the Rothschild article from the Progressive,
mm-hmm.
I know, and I think you know, that it is a complete ruse. He knows the truth about the Twin Towers, and he is coming from that angle, saying that everybody's talking about these conspiracy theories as a wacko, hoping to get on, and I think it's a great idea on his part, but hoping to get on, you know, mass media channels as an analyst, so that people that have never heard of the idea will hear of him. It's working really well.
Well,
close her show. The last 5 minutes of her show this morning, talking about that, and in pretty full. So
and
it's working, and I totally support actions like that by people in the media. We need to trick people in America into thinking the right way. Absolutely.
All right, Ethan, you're imputing something that I don't think is there. Matt Rothschild is not trying to trick anybody. He was really in earnest about his arguments. And
he doesn't understand some basic physical realities.
I agree. It disappoints me because I have a high regard for him, and I've talked with him a dozen times over the last few years and generally find him thoughtful and having opinions that I agree with. On this one, we didn't agree. Okay, Ethan, thanks. Now to Joseph in Arcata. Hello, Joseph. Oh, Joseph dropped. So that leaves a line open, and you can give us a call toll-free, 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. In an embarrassing turnabout, the Department of Justice backed away yesterday from a denial by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez of responsibility for the treatment of the Canadian who was seized by Americans in 2002. This is the guy, Maher Arar, who was deported to Syria, where he was imprisoned and beaten. Asked at a news conference on Tuesday about a Canadian commission finding that the man was wrongly sent to Syria and tortured, Gonzalez replied, "Well, we were not responsible for his removal to Syria." And he added, "I'm not aware that he was tortured." The Attorney General's comments caused puzzlement because they followed front-page news articles of the findings of the Canadian commission. Well, maybe Gonzalez doesn't read the paper. It reported based on inaccurate information from Canada, American officials ordered Mr. Arar taken to Syria, an action documented in public records. On Wednesday, a Justice Department spokesman said Gonzalez had intended to make only a narrow point that deportations are now handled by the Department of Homeland Security and not the Department of Justice. Oh, when it comes to torture, they torture the language to try to get us to believe almost anything. Let's try Thaddeus in Santa Cruz. Hello, Thaddeus. It's Peter B.
Hi, Mr. Collins. How are you?
I'm doing well today. And you?
Pretty good, thanks.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Just reading an interesting book by David Ray Griffin, just coming off on the other person's call there you just had, mm-hmm. about 9/11. Christian Truth and the Christian Faith and the Truth Behind 9/11.
That's his latest book, and I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it's very good. Although I don't agree with all his theology, I'm a Roman Catholic, so I don't accept the process theology, but there's one chapter in there where he shows... compares the Bush regime, the neoconservative regime, and he shows how there's a diabolical influence on it.
Hey, Thaddeus. Thaddeus, I'm sorry. Can you hold on? Because I've got this break coming like a train wreck, and I can't stop it. And
sure.
I'd like to come back to you after the break, and we'll talk further on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5 Peter B. is my number.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752. 62 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m. We're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5, with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Minutes past the hour. We're in the free speech zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Are open if you'd like to talk with us in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Neil Young rocking us into this segment. He's the bard of the Santa Cruz Mountains, and just a few weeks ago, he was on the Colbert Report on Comedy Central and really held his own with Stephen Colbert's character. And tonight, I instruct you to watch the Colbert Report because Daniel Ellsberg is going to be interviewed. Ellsberg is the guy who blew the whistle and brought us the Pentagon Papers that hastened the end of the war in Vietnam. And he has written a powerful essay in the new issue of Harper's Magazine calling on similarly placed individuals. He was a consultant to the Rand Corporation in the 60s and 70s to go public, even at the risk of personal jeopardy like jail time. to spill the beans about the intentions of the Bush administration toward Iran. And I hope Dan Ellsberg took a multivitamin with an extra dose of irony so that he can go toe-to-toe with Stephen Colbert tonight. But I'm going to be watching that with interest, and Dan Ellsberg has agreed to come on our program sometime next week when we'll be able to discuss that with him. Thaddeus back on line one. Hi, Thaddeus. You're back on the air. Thanks for staying on through the break there.
Oh, thanks.
So you were talking about David Ray Griffin's most recent book, which I haven't read, and I understand that it is more theological. His first two books really didn't involve his religious thoughts or philosophies. They were more a critical examination of the events of 9/11, and then secondly, the work of the 9/11 Commission.
That's right. Yeah, that's the first book I've ever read by him, and it's very impressive work, I think. But as I was saying, he has an interesting chapter on diabolical influence in the Bush regime,
mm-hmm.
and I think his analysis is more sophisticated than, you know, Hugo Chavez's, you know, calling Bush the devil.
Okay.
I don't think that's rhetorically effective, but I think there's truth in what Mr. Chavez was saying in the diabolical kind of atmosphere of the whole Bush regime. You
at
know?
Minimum, Thaddeus, it is a perception. I mean, who is the person responsible for the violence in the Middle East? This was a war of choice, and the decider was George W. Bush. And while you can feel offended about the characterization as the devil, you know, I think Chavez delivered it in a tongue-in-cheek manner. But,
oh, yeah.
But
sure.
It's something that clearly resonates all over the world.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's. I was saying, I actually don't think it was rhetorically effective, but there's a great amount of truth in it. I think that David Ray Griffin brings it out, the theological standpoint. And just like I mentioned, one other person who I'm really impressed with work on 9/11 is John McMurtry, a Canadian philosopher.
Hmm.
And he has an article called Understanding the 9/11 Wars, and he makes the case that there's something called, he calls it the regulated groupthink. And it's sort of, you know, I guess you can call it diabolical. It's sort of a stranglehold on people's intellects where they can't imagine, you know, certain events or explanations for events that are outside the narrative that's put forth by the propaganda machine.
Right.
It's impossible for them to understand it. One example of this, of course, is 9/11,
mm-hmm.
that there could possibly be government complicity in that. When I talk to people, it's unbelievable to me how it's impossible for people to even consider the possibility of that being true. And that, to me, is very diabolical when one's mind is controlled according to a certain narrative. And to me, that's that's a real spiritual control over people.
And this brings us back to you know, people like Matthew Rothschild, who, you know, I cannot share his views, and it's really disappointing as a muckraking progressive journalist that he's put aside his skepticism to say that we are off base to continue to demand the truth about 9/11. And if you heard that interview, Rothschild, you know, tries to, he called it a cop-out when I said, look, Matt, I don't have to prove what actually happened to establish that we haven't been told the truth and that the official story conflicts with physical evidence in countless ways. That's what we have to look at.
The real, you know, as David Gray Griffin and others have mentioned, the real conspiracy theory is, of course, the 9/11 Commission's explanation.
Yes.
Because a conspiracy theory, you know, in a negative sense, is the reason why people are against them is because they override the evidence, they invent evidence, or they simply impose upon the evidence their own an ideological kind of narrative. And then once you have facts, then the narrative explodes. Well, that's exactly what's happened to the 9/11 Commission narrative. And then they have the nerve to call people who see that the conspiracy theorists. To me, that's another example of the diabolical. You know, to say that those who examine the facts are conspiracy theorists is so inverted, yet it works.
Right.
And then to say that we're for freedom and then we're now allowing torture. You know, we're dealing with, you know, upside-down world, bizarro world here. And, you know, it seems to me that when you're dealing with confusion, inversion of values, mind control, infinitely hypocrisy to a kind of unbelievable level, that's when you see the sign of the diabolical.
Well, Thaddeus, I want to thank you for calling, and I'm a really lucky guy. as I've got some really intelligent, well-informed callers. You're one of them, and I'm glad you joined me today.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Now, Larry in Aptos. Hello, Larry. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was reading today the Mercury and the Chronicle, the editorial pages, and of course there were several letters in I'm going to call them the torture-in-chief apologist letters.
Mm-hmm.
People backing Bush and his cry for allowing, say, waterboarding.
No, you got it. Hold on, Larry.
He wants to legalize.
Larry, hold on. You got it wrong. All right?
Oh.
America don't torture.
Oh, okay.
Bush has said it repeatedly. America does not torture. All right?
Well,
Now, waterboarding is a lot of fun. Have you ever tried it?
Huh? Well, the Gestapo, apparently, it was their favorite torture technique.
Yeah.
So we've sunk down to the level of the Gestapo. And I wonder how these people who support Bush to the max, how they can rationalize American servicemen using tactics used by fascists, by Nazis.
But it's just, come on, they're doing what it takes to keep us safe.
Well, I got a letter off to both papers, and it just so happened the other day I was paging through a Salinas Valley history, and there was a photo in there of German POWs working in a lettuce field down by Soledad somewhere. And I thought to myself as I was, you know, reading these letters today and deciding I'm going to email both papers, none of those German POWs during World War II, first off in the photo, none of them are wearing a hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know how these guys get hooded. I'm sure that they weren't piled up naked in whatever barracks they were kept in down in the Salinas Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that none of them had fake menstrual blood thrown at them, or they were sleep deprived, or they were beaten up, or rendered to some other country like Argentina for torture. Well, it would have been Argentina, it would have been somewhere else. Argentina was on the Nazi side, I guess.
Yeah, maybe they would have been rendered to the Soviet Union at that time.
Yeah, so, you know, these people really need a history lesson here, these people who always back up Bush no matter what he does. I heard an editorial on another radio, another station today, the one that's up in our area, that's kind of rivaling yours in a sense.
It's okay to talk about it. You don't have to be cagey.
Yeah. That guy has his mom come on and do editorials occasionally.
Right.
And, you know, basically their whole excuse is, well, they do it to us, so we should be able to do it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, that's barbarism, and it really will not enhance our prospects for controlling the threat of terrorism and building healthy relationships around the world. Because, you know, there is this whole premise that the media never challenges, and it's Bush's premise that essentially, you know, projecting freedom at the end of a gun, and, you know, Bush is oblivious to the religious connotations that are perceived, you know, linked to America's actions by people in other parts of the world. And so, you know, we're charging forward based on his framing and his rhetoric, only the rest of the world doesn't see it remotely in that fashion.
Well,
and the disconnect will continue to grow. And we are creating the inspiration for a whole new generation of American hating, do whatever it takes, whether you call them terrorists or fighters or insurgents. These are people who will have very good reasons, from Abu Ghraib to the Iraqi occupation to whatever we do next against Iran and Syria, to hate the United States and seek revenge over a protracted period of time. And Bush does not appear to see the seeds that he's sowing.
Well, here's another, you know, I wanted to also bring up Chavez real quickly. I heard today Nancy Pelosi called Chavez a thug. That thug is giving discounted heating oil to the poorest of the poor in this country. so she's going to hear it from me, too.
Well, I think she might hear it from me, too. I will just reveal to you that I know Nancy Pelosi, and I haven't been in touch with her as much since she was elevated to the minority leader position. I worked for her on a campaign as a consultant about 10 years ago. And I really thought that her comments today were like Clinton and Sister Souljah, where she was saying that this is politically expedient to draw a line and to say that Democrats reject this far-left leader of Venezuela, and it's pandering to the alleged center.
Oh, yeah.
The political center of the country.
Yeah.
And it really was a mistaken step on her part, because I think the Democrats should have just been silent. Let the Chavez remark do what it would do. You don't have to embrace it, but neither do you need to denounce it.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's one of those things where people are going to say, hey, see, Democrats and Republicans, not a lot of difference.
Yeah, you got that. Thanks, Larry.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Appreciate your call. More calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is dedicated to Jeffrey Mark Deskovic, a 32-year-old man from Westchester County, New York. Yesterday, after spending 16 years in maximum security prison for a crime he did not commit, Jeffrey Deskovic was released. And Barry Scheck from the Innocence Project assisted him in establishing that he was wrongly convicted. And Jeffrey Deskovic is the 184th person nationwide to be exonerated from a serious conviction since 1989 based on DNA. So the next time you're driving by Soledad or Pelican Bay or one of the other prisons in California, take a look and let yourself know that there could be an innocent person in there, and most likely there is.
90 days. 30 days of boogaloo.
We're going to take a quick break and return for more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines open. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And visit the website. See what's up. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m., from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let's take a look at that drive home in and around Monterey Bay. In Monterey, starting off northbound Highway 1, just before Canyon Del Rey Boulevard, an accident now. A solo vehicle hit the center divide. No injuries. CHP on the scene directing traffic around it. Let's go to Freedom, Monument Avenue at Buena Vista Drive. An injury crash here. Three vehicles involved with emergency crews on the scene. Checking out eastbound Highway 25 and Highway 156 in Hollister. We had that grass fire to deal with. It has been dealt with. There's still some activity, but a much better drive in the area. And let's take a look at Highway 156. No stalls or crashes, but you will see that typical slow traffic, both signs between Castroville and San Juan Bautista. This look brought to you by Shell and the Shell Million Gallon Giveaway. Shell is giving away free gas for life to six lucky winners and tons of other prizes. It's the Million Gallon Giveaway, only at Shell, made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Okay, come on. What's happening here? It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and here comes the music. Whenever technical glitches occur on the Peter B. Collins Show, you can blame the host. He's the one whose thumbs are running the equipment here. I've got room for your call here in the free speech zone, some minutes remaining. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. And Virginia's on the line from Salinas with a reminder. Hello, Virginia.
Hi, Peter. In addition to the reminder, I like to say I like the music. I like your choice of music. And I particularly appreciate your tribute to all those, well, to the Innocence Project and all to those who've been imprisoned unjustly.
Yeah.
I have stood outside the gates of Salinas Valley. Need to go back again because I feel like you that there are many people there unjustly imprisoned.
Well, it's true. There are a lot of miscarriages of justice in our system, and Barry Scheck, to his credit, cashed that check from the O.J. trial, and he and Neufeld, is that his name?
Neufeld, I think.
Yeah, they formed the Innocence Project, and they have done tremendous work. As I said, 184 individuals, most of whom were convicted of murder, have been completely exonerated. And it shows tremendous weaknesses and holes in our system. And I still, you know, believe by and large we've got one of the best criminal justice systems in the world. But it isn't perfect, and we need to be vigilant.
It certainly is, and I think we need to give credit. I believe it was a bunch of students, or largely at Northwestern, who under Barry Scheck and Neufeld directed the program. But the students did a lot of that legwork and got a lot of people free.
Well, it's interesting, not to quibble with you, but just a little correction. The Northwestern Project was actually journalism students.
Yes.
And they were working with, ultimately, the governor of Illinois, who is now sentenced to prison.
Yes.
George Ryan.
He did a good deed before that, however.
Well, and I think they should cut him some slack. I realize he was corrupt and all that, but in the big scheme of things, what he did for death row innocent inmates is something that I will always honor him for.
Well, I will, too. And my 35 years living in Illinois, unfortunately, taught me that the pattern of, government progress, shall we say, is very rough in that.
Yeah. Where'd you live in Illinois?
Champaign-Urbana.
Okay. Well, I went to Northwestern, and I lived in Chicago for a number of years, and I'm really glad I escaped. And fortunately, that warrant has expired. It was for parking tickets. Don't worry. So, Virginia, tonight you've got the candlelight vigil.
Absolutely. I wanted to encourage all your Salinas visitors to come over at 7 o'clock, Star Market, the corner of Blanco and Main Street, and join us for as long as they can. We've got lots of candles. And they should dress warmly. It's cold out there tonight, but we'll be glad to see them.
Okay.
And
well,
thank you again for letting me remind people.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad you're there. Wish I could be there with you.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call today. And Frank is on the line. Hello, Frank. Where are you calling from?
Marina.
Hi, Frank. Good to have you on the air. What's going on?
First of all, with Hugo Chavez, he's just calling a spade a spade. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. Yeah, I mean, he said it metaphorically, of course.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was listening to, Ed Schultz,
yeah,
earlier this afternoon, and Pelosi is calling Hugo Chavez a thug. That man has more integrity and more honesty and more courage than a whole Democratic Party nowadays.
Well, it's a mixed bag, okay? I do have an appreciation for Chavez. He is not perfect. He is kind of a populist. He's not completely a dictator because he has been elected. But he doesn't allow for full freedom in his country. And, you know, unfortunately, the United States, by supporting the coup attempt, and we're still spending $5 million a year in Venezuela to support opposition groups. That comes from our State Department.
Right.
You know, we have a bad policy that has pushed him further. I wouldn't say that, you know, we caused it, but we pushed him further into the arms of Fidel Castro and Ahmadinejad of Iran and others because we're using the same fabulous policy that's been so effective against Cuba since 1959.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, John Perkins wrote a whole book about this, Confessions of the Economic Hitman.
Oh, yeah, he's been on our show.
I know. By the way, our hero, Ray McGovern, I watched him on Free Speech TV two nights ago at from April.
Yeah.
He was at John Marshall Law School in Chicago. But what I wanted to say, Peter, was, you know, you got the thugs running this country now with the Democratic lackeys. And with the amended torture bill, did they ask me, answer me, did any Democrats try to fight this, or was it just a few Republicans?
Yes.
I've been kind of out of town, and, you know...
Here's the New York Times today. Representative Martin Meehan, Democrat of Massachusetts, has taken a leading role in trying to counter the administration's efforts, said that stripping the federal courts of the right to hear habeas corpus challenges raised grave constitutional questions. And I commend him for speaking up.
Yeah.
The Democrats have been sitting back and letting the Republicans pee on one another. And just kind of enjoying the richness of that moment. But I think that long term, we will see their failure to impact this legislation in any way. And as I said earlier today, the Democrats should be standing up and saying, time out! We don't need to rush this through before the end of session next week. There is no imminent need for this. Let's take our time and get it right, and let's make this a true reflection of the American people and the American Constitution. Frank, thanks for your call today. I really appreciate hearing from you. And I've got just enough time to take you into the fictional portion of our broadcast day. As we check out the latest dispatch from Andy Borowitz at BorowitzReport.com. The headline reads, Bolton removes 10 floors from the UN while the president of Iran was speaking.
Places, sometimes pretend to be your friend.
United Nations Ambassador John Bolton used the president of Iran's speech to the General Assembly on Tuesday as a distraction in order to fulfill his longstanding dream of removing 10 floors from the UN building in New York. Bolton made no secret of his desire to remove 10 floors from the world body's headquarters, but few in the international community believe that he had the audacity or the wherewithal to pull it off. But on Tuesday, as President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad launched into a scathing anti-American tirade in the General Assembly, Bolton successfully removed floors 14 from through 23 from the UN's fabled New York home. Hours after the unprecedented floor removal procedure, a spokesman for Bolton revealed that the U.S. ambassador accomplished the astonishing feat by using something called a matter transporter beam. Bolton's excision of 10 stories from the UN building drew an instant rebuke from Secretary General Kofi Annan, who demanded that the U.S. ambassador return the floors to the world body at once. Those 10 floors contain many facilities that are necessary to the continuing operation of the UN, including 20 bathrooms. Also, the storage closet where my son hides his cash kickbacks is on 16. Bolton said that Annan would have an opportunity to reacquire the 10 floors later this week when they go on sale at eBay. I want to thank you for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm coming back tomorrow, same time, same stations.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Days of quiet negotiation ended the standoff between the Bush administration and three rebellious Republican senators. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports they've agreed on the rules for suspected terrorists.
Details remain sketchy, but the bottom line seems to be that CIA agents get protection from war crimes charges, and the president backs away from his insistence that the Geneva Convention be narrowly defined. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says there also will be limits on secret evidence. This isn't about protecting terrorists, he says. It's about being true to American values.
We will win this war because we're better than they are.
He said the risk in changing rules for the terrorists is that would open the door to other countries changing the rules when Americans are captured in war. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Perspective from CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The devil is in the details here, and so far we really don't have any. And even if there is a deal, it still ultimately will face some sort of a review by the federal courts, which have in the past struck down similar efforts to jumpstart these military tribunals for detainees, and also to clarify new laws of war. So this may be some sort of a political breakthrough, but it certainly doesn't guarantee legal success.
When President Bush launched the war on terrorism, he told the world, either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. Pakistan's President Musharraf says that message was delivered even more bluntly to his government by Assistant Secretary of State Richard Armitage.
He said, be prepared to be bombed, to be prepared to go back to the Stone Age.
Musharraf was interviewed for Sunday's 60 Minutes by CBS News correspondent Steve Croft.
Were you insulted?
Yes, I thought it was a very rude remark.
Nevertheless, Musharraf says he decided to do what was best for his country. Armitage, who's no longer at the State Department, disputes the language but not the thrust of his message to Pakistan. Walmart changed the rules in retailing, and now it's starting to change the rules for health care. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason reports the chain will drastically mark down many prescription drugs.
In all, Walmart will offer 291 generic medications for just $4 for a typical monthly dosage. Like the diabetes drug Metformin. A monthly supply costs more than $25 at a national drugstore chain. Walmart's price of $4 means an annual savings of more than $250. Lisinopril, a drug that treats high blood pressure, costs more than $17 at another major chain. A